And yeah, it's critical to marketing. Okay, that's it, folks. We're running very, very late. I'm sorry I let you go another 3 or 4 minutes over. A couple of questions that have come up that some of you have asked that won't be contained in this day. Question number one seems to have been, what about the preparation of the client? You know, how do we open the meeting? Preparation of client to go into this new stuff. But you need to recognise that the client doesn't know what's going to happen. And they don't know this stuff is new. They don't know that this is a deeper way of thinking. They just think you're a bloke with some professional skills. And people who now understand this is just a coaching process. Nothing to do with the USA. This kind of material is used a lot in the University of Sydney to train professional coaches in corporate Australia how to coach senior executives of major corporates. Okay? And they do in being a university, they do massive empirical measurable studies on does this work in corporate Australia? What impact does this have on executives' lives? And they ain't going to carry on doing it if it doesn't work. They have to have, in a university, you're dealing with academics, they have to have empirical proof that this stuff works and has a measurable effect on the executive's life. It's also used in University of Australia to train athletics coaches. Okay? And the beauty about athletics coaches is that they're bright enough to recognise that they're not the genius. The athlete's the genius. Tiger Woods swings the club, not his coach. So why the heck does he have a coach? And in the University of Sydney, they're taught why coaches can be poor coaches or brilliant coaches using the right questioning methods and techniques with their clients. So this has got nothing to do with America or Sydney or Germany or any other places this is developed. This is to do with human relations and our inability as males to develop this skill set in our growing up, and the fact that there are people out there, men and women, who are highly skilled at using this in everyday life. In any professional area, whether solicitors or accountants, particularly in counselling, in medical counselling, in coaching world-class athletes, in coaching corporate executives in the USA, the UK, Australia and Germany and places like that, Japan. This is what senior corporate executive coaches use to deal with top-level managing directors and chairmen to drive corporations forward. This kind of questioning process. Got nothing to do with which country does it come from. And it's powerful. It's just powerful. But it needs practice, and clearly we've run out of time to practice anymore. If you just turn to page, as we wrap up, 35, quickly read, starting from Nigel, across his table, then we go to this table. Just a blue box each, Nigel.
Now you are confident why you're planning.
Carry on.
And they share your confidence. Now you've made the implicit explicit.
Now you've refocused their attention on solutions, not underlying problems.
Carry on, Gordon.
Now you can create a plan which is linked to reality.
I'll repeat the comment I made before. Unless you're working at this level, you're not working with reality. You're working with what the client in the first few minutes thinks you want to know and hear, and that's all they'll give you, and that's not what's really in their life. So it might work, your financial plan, it might change their money, but this is not about money. Financial plan is not about money, it's about life, and using the money processes and techniques that you understand to sustain the change in that life. can't imagine that anybody in their wildest dreams thinks that the way people work with their money is in any way logical. When you start debt counselling, as I've done, you realise how totally irrational human beings function with money. In most cases, it's almost dysfunctional, but it is certainly never logical. It's always deeply emotional. The way we express our emotions using our money shows in everybody's ownership of things and what they do with their time and their money. And it's different from household to household, because that expresses what you feel. If everything was logical, we'd all do almost identical things with our money, because it would just be logical. But it's not, doesn't work like that. So to work logically with a person's money is illogical. It doesn't make any sense. You use logical tools and logical factors, but first you need to get to the emotions, because all money behaviour is emotional behaviour. What they bring to you in their life is a reflection of what's going on inside them over the last 30, 40, 50 years, and nothing more than that. Certainly nothing less. So to apply logical tools to an emotional situation is inappropriate professional behaviour. That only comes when you understand the emotional background to what the heck's going on in their, with their money and their life. Human beings do not function logically with money. It's all emotional. Well, page 36, you then learn to map all the things you found out with some goals and some milestones. That's the beginning of the logic. That's where the logic starts to come in. Page 37. Okay, do you want to take that on, Stephen?
Because written plans motivate changes in behaviour.
That's why you produce a written plan. Coaching studies done at the University of Sydney show, as does every other study in coaching show, that when a person writes down their thoughts and behaviour, they start to be able to manage the change of that to better things. Who here keeps a journal regularly? The reason that is used in most coaching and counselling processes is because writing down thoughts, feelings and behaviours allows the person wrapped up in them to change those thoughts, feelings and behaviours. That's why almost every counsellor learns to use a journal with the client and gets the client to keep a journal. It's part of the process. It's a fairly standard part of the process. If you go to weight loss classes, most women do at some time in their life, one of the first things they'll learn to do is keep a journal. Written plans help motivate change in human behaviour. It just does. It's not a discussion, that's just what happens. When people write things down, it motivates them to start changing their behaviour. Therefore, your written plan is your financial planner. Okay, next point.
Includes prudent financial adjustments to plan.
Of course, you've got to be prudent. Some of their dreams might be completely off the chart, and you need to introduce prudence into your eventual advice when the time is right. Carry on.
Includes wise allocation of resources.
Yeah, you know how to do this. Is the first time in the whole workshop in the last 12 minutes where your financial skills come into play. And if you go on a kinder course, you'll learn 3 major days of non-financial planning skills, and in the last portion of the workshop will be where you apply your expertise and knowledge. It's the last portion, because it becomes really easy then to do that, because all the hard work's been done. Okay, carry on. Nick?
So, includes milestones, steps and time frames.
As any written plan should do, milestones, steps and time frames. Carry on.
A roadmap to freedom.
Yes. If you could just see what you're doing with this person's life. Who here has done any backrack work?
Read the book.
You've read the book? And what's the thing that each backrack advisor allows the client to walk away with. It's part of the process.
A roadmap.
A physical. It's about this big. Yeah, about this big.
Green.
It's unfoldable. It kind of goes up on the wall in their bedroom, whatever it is. They bring it to each meeting, and it's a thundering great map. And on that map are milestones that take the client to the deepest yearnings of their heart, which are written down on the roadmap here by the advisor. It is part of the professional back wrap process. Sophisticated, quite deep, and the representation of all of the work that the financial planner does is on that roadmap. And as far as the client is concerned, this is a roadmap to my freedom, to free me from all the garbage that's haunted me all of my life and all the bedrock assumptions which are now being broken, released and freed. Finally, some human being is helping me become the kind of person and do the kind of things I've always yearned for but never told anybody. Because she's not wanting to listen or he doesn't want to listen because it's too scary. What was it Nigel said to me? Every person just desperately wants to be listened to. Desperately. Who here has been to a meeting where one of the delegates hogged all the airspace? Why did they do that? Are they stupid? Are they purposely rude? Why, Ian, would they do that?
Because they like talking about themselves.
Sorry?
They like talking about themselves.
Yeah. Ian? Thank you, Nick.
Scared of any polls, I think. Scared of anyone else's opinion.
Okay.
They like to be in control.
Yeah. And they are scared, you're right.
Self-important.
Yeah.
Are they insuperior? Feeling superior?
Sorry.
Could they feel insuperior?
Yeah.
Lack of confidence and they come out.
Yes, that often happens. What I found happens, and this happened on Tuesday down in Newbury, is what they're manifesting in front of you is a desperate desire, will someone please listen to me? And it's almost a desperation. When it keeps happening in a group, you can sense the sheer desperation of the human being. For some reason, nobody listens to him. And all of a sudden he's found an environment, a platform, which if he keeps interrupting, everybody has to listen to him. And it's so powerful he can't help it. And it's a manifestation to me of every human being's desire to be heard whilst they're alive. Will somebody just tell me I'm important? Will somebody please listen to me? Please. Anybody. In your professional role, you have the privilege of being that person. Possibly for the first time in that bolshy individual's life. That hard nut. The closed, not into this soft stuff. That within an hour or two will release the floodgates until you get to the truth. The question is, do you have the ability to ask the questions? Or are you scared? Because the problem isn't theirs, it's yours. Now you've been given some tools, the question is, will you practice them? The end result is, there's a human being out there who's either your existing client or a prospective client whose life you can free to live the life they really want to do. If I were a financial planner right now, I'd just commit for the rest of my working life to free human beings to live the life they really want to live. And then to help them, because I have the professional skills, to so structure their money and their financial incomings and outgoings to permit that to happen. And that's where your skill comes in, right at the very end. instead of stuffing it up their nose right at the very beginning, when it's just inappropriate and really not that helpful. Now, if they bring, and we don't have time to spend another 3 hours discussing the first couple of questions, which are probably no more complex than, why are you here? Who uses this question? Why are you here? You ask for an opening question, that's it. Why are you here? And when you ask that question sensitively, I promise you the floodgates start opening from the very first 60 seconds when you ask it correctly. Why are you here? What happens if they bring to you an urgent need, like, I am totally underinsured and I desperately need £1 million worth of insurance or whatever it is? Well, you then break the conversation into two. They brought you an itch, you need to scratch it, that's your responsibility and duty. Yeah? They brought you an itch, you need to scratch it. But you then need to prepare them, Ian, answering your question earlier on, for the fact that we're going to spend time scratching this itch, because this clearly seems an urgent requirement that you brought to me. And my responsibility is to work with you to clear it. However, my sense is, underlying this itch, there's probably more going on that you've never had a chance to discuss regarding your money. So, our normal mode of working, is to deal with the itch and then to deal with the underlying causes of the itch. You comfortable with that? Have any objections to that? I don't mention life planning, I don't mention coaching. Our normal way of working is to deal with the itch and then to understand the underlying causes of how that came about. You comfortable with that? Yeah. Good. Deal with the itch. Right. We need to set up a meeting to deal with it, or we need another hour to deal with it, and you move into, now that we've dealt with that, we know what we're going to do. It's going to take me some time outside of this office, but why else are you here? And it just starts. And if you pause long enough, Ian, it will come. Because you set the environment up to do so. There's much more to that, of course. I want someone to summarise for me page 38 in their own words. Eric, I'd like to summarise that graphic for you. What does all that mean? Nice coherent discussion.
Yeah, all of these phrases, the meaning, yearning, time and money, work together to help the client achieve the outcomes that we want, which is in the middle. And they work in a set way by discovering the client's meanings and the yearnings, in terms of going to a deeper level, and then tying those up with how they can meet those outcomes with management of the money and the time.
Okay. Why have I put the yellow portion in the centre? What's that all about? The yellow circle.
Well, I think that means that each of those sections are not mutually exclusive, they tie in together.
Yeah.
So the meaning of the yearnings that they have also relate to issues about time and money and the meaning that they're seeking in their lives.
Yeah, and we saw that with John. He put time comments on that and money comments and his meanings and his yearnings, it all came together. If I had a pen, I'd write by that yellow spot, the sweet spot. In executive professional coaching, that's known as the sweet spot. When those things come together under your skill and they get it and you get it, however many hours it takes, you hit the sweet spot of their life. Thank you, Eric. Could we have an explanation of page 39 very quickly from Stuart? Nice and loudly, Stuart.
Yes, this is the pyramid, and what it's illustrating is just as with an iceberg, the bulk of the client's life is beneath the surface, it's in the base level. And if we're going to deal with our clients, then we need to deal with those issues. The fact is, we've got tools to deal with. Which comes afterwards. We've got to get to the fundamental base of the problem to deal with those issues, and the financial planning is the top of it, or the icing on the cake. It's not the real issue.
Yeah. You don't have to do any of this stuff when you walk away from this. You can just forget all this nonsense and just get on with what you're doing already, and you know what, you'll carry on making money and making a good business. But I think each of us has a fundamental decision to make. Do you want to work with a client, or do you want to work with the client's money? Do you want to work with the client, or do you want to work with the client's money? There is no right or wrong there. They are different types of businesses. And I'm encouraging you to think about creating a business which works first with the client, and then with the client's money, but strictly in that order. Nigel?
Yeah, make an observation about the triangle.
Go on.
It seems completely bonkers to look after their money, because all the things in that top box are out of yours and your client's control. So how can you possibly charge somebody for something that you can't deliver? Whereas the bottom ones, you and your client do control and can deliver.
That's really interesting. Who here... what a stupid question. Why bother asking it? Dina Katz. Anybody know Dina Katz? Read any of her material? She works with Mark Tiberghien. Anybody heard of Mark Tiberghien? You need to read Mark Tiberghien. Mark Tiberghien, chairman of, I think, the 10th largest accountancy practice or business in the USA. He has been headhunted and poached by, I think, the Mellon Group, Mellon Bank Group, to conduct top-level consultancy with the leading financial planners in the USA. That's all he does for the last 5 or 6 years. Dina Katz works with them, and they've written numerous books for fee-based financial planners. Really high-level stuff. Really deep stuff. And Dina Katz made a comment in her book. She made it quite aggressively. Be very careful about what you're charging for. Why would you ever link your fee structure to something over which you ultimately have no control whatsoever? Why would you ever link your fee structure to something over which you ultimately have absolutely no control whatsoever, i.e. the stock market? Why would you do that? What is the sense in that, she says. She's just posing a question. Interesting question, though. But this other stuff, you and they work with and can change. And if I were a financial planner today, I'd link all of my fees based on the internals, not the externals. Because I can work with those. I can't control the stock market. So why would I base my fee structure on something I can't control? It's just a question, a way of doing business. It's not a right and a wrong, it's just a question. Okay, as we close, guys, all we've done, page 40, you all know that. You and I have spent 6 months working on everything that happens before the first meeting, page 40. That's called marketing. Talking about your needs, Ian, marketing is everything that happens before the first meeting. Okay, if you're talking about your business and yourself and your structure and your fee structure in the first meeting, you've completely misunderstood marketing. I'm talking about all of us here. Okay, first meeting should never be about you and your fee structure or your business. It's irrelevant. It's got nothing to do with the client. First meeting should be about them and only them. If you haven't got the client to understand everything about your business that they need to understand, then you don't understand marketing. That can all be done outside of that first meeting. So they should be completely familiar with your business and your fee structure and everything else. Now, that's my view. But I believe the first meeting is all about the clients, not about you. It should get you out of the way. It's just noise. It's all about them. Turnover 41. So we spent 6 months doing that in the advisor gym, and today we've just really started to touch upon the selling process of discovery and inspiration and working together in collaboration, helping them gain confidence and gaining their commitment to go ahead with something that they really, really want to do, not because you persuaded them to do. And that's the purpose of today. Otherwise you're persuading them. There's no need to do that. Watch out in summary, before you do the feedback sheets on page 45, please. We could only cover what we could cover today. On the 1st of December, I'll be releasing two things. A PowerPoint on the first meeting. All the steps, because we could only cover some of the steps here today. PowerPoint on all the steps in the first meeting from beginning to end, including John, what should be the preparatory questions and so on and so forth to start this process off. I'll also be releasing on the 1st of December complete overview index of the whole of the 18-month course in the advisor gym. So one booklet showing you where you're going to find all the subjects that we cover in the 18-month course in each of the 6 workbooks. Yeah, does that make sense? So a complete tick box index for every step in the process. The tick box index will probably be about, 12 pages long. But have I done this? Have I done this? Have I done this and done this? And where can I find it? 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 So that will be 1st December. 1st November, be a new website. Current one's rubbish. Okay. Modelling websites for you, showing this is how it should be done with material that you've never seen before. 1st of October will be all the workshops we've done so far will be on a website in audio that you can access all the 5 previous workshops in audio if you're a member of the Inner Circle. Okay. Some of you asked me, well, where's the previous stuff? I'd love to listen to it sometime. Will be on a website on the 1st of October, which is tomorrow. 2nd of January, we'll start releasing new products and services. I'll give an example of this. Some of you know, after I was ill, I woke up to the fact that I need more staff because I was just being a bit stupid. I wasn't working 3-day week, and I should have been. So I eventually committed to spending a fortune, with my bank's help, on recruiting 2 new staff. One is young Jake, who frightens the pants off me. He's 19 years old and he's 10 times brighter than I am. He's just so bright, it just scares me. I thought he was just a nice kid, you know? And the stuff he can do is just reeling. He's training, he's 19 and he's training me. He's already designed a complete social media course to train me in social media. Just designed a course, took him about 3 days. From beginning to end, Twitter, Facebook, the whole business. This kid is now teaching me how to do it. Whew. And then I said to Naomi, cost a frightening amount of money, only works for me part-time because I can't afford a full-time, £30 an hour. I said, what should I do with these 3 marketing workshops I've created? She said, leave it to me. Leave me alone and I'll just go and do it. So she took the 30 CDs and the 3 workbooks. She created 3 workbooks, took the 30 CDs and got someone to type them all up as a transcript of every workshop and every word I've ever said. She packaged it together this Tuesday like this into the, this is her words, the ultimate marketing resource for independent financial advisors. I just thought that's blooming brilliant. I didn't think of that. She just said, get off my back, leave me alone, just get on with your job. And I'll produce this for you. So this kind of stuff will come out in January. And I said, well, how will it look? She said, well, they'll open the box like this, and here are the 30 CDs on this thing here. So there's me printing out 30 CDs, you know, thinking I'm really clever. She said, well, there it is. There's all the transcripts and there's all the audios of 21 hours worth of workshops, and said, here are all the workbooks in here, and they'll have, you know, labels on them. So you pull them out. So how do you do that then? How do you get a spine there? Pull them out. So, like that, and they open flat like that. So the workbooks. Some of those thundering rate things I keep leaving with you, and you put them on your shelf. We're in a binder. We'll be here. I just think that's brilliant. So those kind of things will be released. Oh, that will cost you. You're not getting that free. to the market. Okay, why am I showing you those things? Showing you those things because I made the assumption that I couldn't afford this. It's just, you know, this, I can't afford this kind of skill in my business. And then someone said to me, Andrew Walsh, suppose you could afford it, what would you do? Andrew Walsh is my mentor, he's a multi-millionaire, ex-controller of group financial director of a major corporate PLC that was about to go bankrupt until he was bought in and turned it around and made it a profitable company. And I now get him for my mentor, and I can't tell you how much I pay him, but it's peanuts. He now just is semi-retired, retired at 42, made a couple of million, wants to spend time with his family, go skiing, blah blah blah, see them through university. He decided, you're a bit of an idiot, I think I'll mentor you. Didn't say that, but that's what he meant. And he just said, supposing you could, what would you do? I said, well, I'll go and see the bank manager and say, well, this is what I want to do and I can't afford this, that and the other. I said, well, let's go and do that then. And I did, and the bank manager said, that's brilliant. Really? I said, how much do you need? Really? I thought I'd be in trouble. I said, no. I said, well, it costs a fortune. He said, well, that's brilliant. I haven't got the money. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Just get on with it. Stop faffing around. So I just believe in free and assumptions. Andrew said, what if you could, what would you do next? I hope the same can happen to your business too. Can you turn to page 45? Okay. Feedback sheets. You give your blunt feedback, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today. Just do this and change a few people's lives. Feedback sheets first, please. And please change business cards with each other. Please don't bring the cards and leave them in your pocket. Recently, I've got Barry. Who knows Barry Horner? Yeah. Barry Horner, president of the IFP. He's crawling all over this stuff, giving it beta tests for me and telling me whether it's any good or not. Adam Young. Who's heard of Adam Young? Dragonfly, yeah, he's a kinder, right? Who's heard of Dennis Hall of Yellowtail? Yeah, he uses all this material. This is a natural part of his business. The leading financial planners in the UK are using this material. So please swap cards and please fill your feedback sheets and leave them on the centre of the table. And please keep your partner's material confidential and not share it. Oh, incidentally, show of hands, sorry. Show of hands for December. I'm voting that our next event should not be a workshop. Our next event should be more of a masterclass thought. Masterclass where you bring questions to it, send them to me before the day, and we simply spend the day working through a number of your business questions. We masterclass with each other. That's my feeling. Would you prefer a workshop or would you prefer that kind of format? What's your view?
Masterclass.
You want to try a masterclass?
Yeah.
Okay. We're actually coaching and mentoring each other. We'll have at least two facilitators in the room, one of them being myself, working with you on different tables, just working with you in that process, help facilitate the process so that you actually coach and mentor each other. You each bring three questions before the date. You send them to me. I prepare that material so I'm ready to help you answer the questions. And we work through all those questions together until you get them cracked out. Want to try that process? Are you up for that?
A, B, C, D within your question.
Sorry?
A, B, C, D within your question.
So yeah.
Try and pattern all
in. Absolutely. Do you want to try that format? I'd love to try it. Watching you today, you prefer this to me yakking up the front. We'll try a masterclass process. Okay, next year, I want to do what I want to do for ages and ages, which is try bringing North and South together. Would you prefer... Yeah. Would you prefer...
Edinburgh, lovely.
He's from the South. He's just come up here and sneaked in. He just loves it up here. I would like to bring the North and South team together. Same size of room. Bring them together somewhere. We can either have a venue like this in central England, Birmingham, wherever, you know, Telford or whatever. Or we could... Yes. Birmingham's the most exciting place in the world. Or we could try somewhere different. A retreaty type place. Can I just have a show of hands who would prefer the classic standard, this kind of environment for bringing together like that? Who would prefer that? Okay. Who would prefer a retreat type environment where we can, just a completely different environment, out in the country somewhere, Cornwall, wherever? Edinburgh.
An
airport. Somewhere different, away from it, away from this normal, this kind of process. Have a show of hands. A Birmingham-y type process, a retreat type environment, countrified. Okay.
Great Wall of China, it is then.
Great Wall of China. He's serious. Oh, he's not joking. He said Iceland or the Great Wall of China. And I thought he was joking. And he's not. He's not joking at all.
Funded by you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, somewhere just unusual. Somewhere away from this. Think about it, because we're going to have a serious vote, because I'm going to do it next year, one way or another. Bring North and South.
A two-day or one day?
Well, what do you think? Would one day suffice, or would it need to be two?
If we're going to go somewhere where we're going to actually get a retreat, where we're going to actually, it would be nice to have two sessions over 2 days.
Yeah.
And actually have sort of maybe a bit more time to actually meet some of the people.
Okay.
And have an eye of it.
That's what they want down south. So if you're up for that, I'll look seriously at the cost of that and how we do that. Yeah? We'll try that? Okay, let's try it. Thank you so much for your time. Please leave your feedback sheets on the table. Go and change some lives out there. But great being with you today. Thank you for your time.